You have found Luke's Gospel chapter number 10 by now. I'd like for you to stand. We're only going to read one verse here tonight. So we'll make it a good one. And as y'all know, our theme for Jubilee was Jericho, the city of palms, victory. And of course, I found another verse with Jericho in it. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." The Lord being our helper tonight, we'd like to bring our sermon on this thought of the road to Jericho. The road to Jericho. Abba Father, we do thank you, Lord, once again for all that you've done for us. And while it is wonderful to be able to have the mirth and to be able to laugh and get excited and clap and all that, it's also wonderful that we've got your holy word here. That we can learn what you've got for us. And we're humbly asking you, Father, please, to open up our eyes, open up our ears, open up our hearts, so as that we can take in all that you've got for us here tonight. Help us, Lord, please, because we need to have clearer understanding of your word so as that we can go out and serve you the way that you'd have for us to, and not rely on excuses for not being able to do it. We thank you, God, for hearing us. We thank you, God, that you have already answered each and every prayer and prayer requests that have been made known and the unspoken. We might be waiting on the answer to come our way, but you've already given the answer. We thank you, Father, for that. We love you, Lord, and in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In Jesus' day, the city of Jericho was very much a priestly city with an estimated population of priests alone being around 12,000. And because they were there in Jericho, not in Jerusalem, they would have to travel from Jericho up to Jerusalem during their particular course where they got to go and to serve in the temple to whatever degree it was. And so this road was very well traveled by these priests. They understood the very danger that Jesus talks about in the verses to follow here. They've got a very good idea what's going on. They understand how perilous it is because of the bandits that would be here in the area. Of course, our daily lives can be perilous at times. We face troubles. We face trials. Situations change on us. Some we expect to change as the corruption expands. And others, the corruption comes through like a cancer that suddenly pops up on us. The fact of the matter is, as we are making our journey along life's road, we're going to run into potential problems. Sometimes, Brother Frank, it's not going to work out too good for us. We're going to get the snot beaten out of us. Pardon my French there. We're going to have times, though, when we're going to be able to avoid it. But more often than not, the enemy's going to be sitting there waiting for their traps to steal whatever they can from us. Let me tell you right now, the enemy is not happy with us as is. We had 3 good days of the Jubilee. I'm not tooting my own horn there. The fact is, the enemy does not like when God's people come together. He does not like when things begin to work so well and people get excited about serving the Lord and people getting encouraged about coming and serving the Lord God and singing His praises and preaching out of His Word there. He doesn't like when it happens. And so He begins to plot and He begins to plan and to lay traps, and He's going to find some way, shape, or form where He will be able to attack each and every one of us. Be on your guard. You have been warned. As we get into the verses here, we're going to find a man who I do believe personally I've got no Bible on it, but I do believe personally that he understood there was danger traveling the Jericho road. But he still fell into a trap. As we see here in verse number 30, we find that there is a certain. It says here, a certain man. When Jesus declares in one of his stories, his narratives, his parables, the word certain, he's telling you, this actually happened. This is a genuine individual that is being talked about here. It's guaranteed, take it to the bank. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, every time that you're dealing with geography here in the Bible, you go up to Jerusalem. Even if you are north of the city, you are always going up to Jerusalem because it is built on a mountain. And anytime you go anyplace else from Jerusalem, you're always going down. End of subject. We had a wonderful jubilee, but some of us are already starting the downward trip.
Yeah.
It's going to get rough.
Yeah.
Hold on to your hat. Because we can still go back up there. But sometimes we're going to do as this man did, and he fell among. The words fell among. And yeah, I'm going to get into doing a little bit of word study here tonight. The fell among means to be surrounded. This isn't just one particular person going up against another particular person. There's enough to surround this guy. They're going to have their way with him. As I look out here, as an example, let's say Brother John here, he is the certain man. If you notice, he is surrounded on all sides by people. Hopefully you all are friendly to him. But he's surrounded. But you know what? We're not always going to be surrounded by friends and family. We're not always going to be surrounded by fellow Christians, by people who go to church. We're going to sometimes be surrounded by the thieves that are out there. And I looked up that word thieves, and it means robbers. Now, for those of you who are, you're in your flesh like me, you watch some of those Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, say Ant-Man, for example, where one of the big things was that people would say that Scott robbed people, and he says, no, I didn't rob them, I burgled them. Burgling is just going in and stealing. Robbing means there is intent to hurt. This man here is surrounded by a bunch of robbers. In other words, Brother Ben, they are there not just to take what he's got, but they are going to have fun treating him like a human piñata. Mm. They are going to beat him. They are going to whoops up on him. They might even cut him. They might break some bones. They might treat him like the red-headed stepchild and just beat the daylights out of him. Why? Because it's their intentions. You see, if there's no witnesses, is there a crime? Brother Tim, your services are required. Thank you for volunteering. You'll note as the verse comes to an end, as it talks about him being left half dead. They've come along, and they didn't give him noogies. They came along, and they punched him. They beat him. They gave him the people's elbow. They knocked him down. Go ahead and get down on the ground. They stomped on him while he's down there. They gave him a bloody nose. They beat him within an inch of his life. To say that he is half dead, he is literally, as the word means, exhausted. He put up the good fight, but he was outnumbered. He put up the good fight, but he didn't have the muscle to overcome all of the numbers. He's exhausted because he's worn out from fighting. He's exhausted because he is worn out from all the pain in his body that is ravaging him right now. He may have been cut and his life blood has been let from his body. He's done for. He's exhausted. And he's going to continue to lay there for a long time. Don't worry, I checked with him before service. While in verse 30, we see the certain. Verse 31, we see the chance. The chance. Verse says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I need a couple more volunteers. Brother Ben, thank you for volunteering. Brother Bert, thank you for volunteering. Brother Bert, I'd like you to stand by the Christian flag over there. Over further, because we need that walkway.
Okay.
Brother Ben, come hit him. Brother Ben, I'm sorry, but you are playing a certain priest. Now, let's not forget that as a priest, you know the Levitical law. You know that you are not supposed to handle a dead body. As a priest, you also understand the teachings of the rabbis, which means you understand that their perverted teachings say that he's not even allowed to have his shadow touch him or he would become unclean. But Brother Ben, you are making your way to Jerusalem right now. You cannot go forward because that certain man is laying there blocking your path. What that means is you must pass by on the other side. So I want you to go ahead and pass by on the other side, please. And then pause when you get to Brother Bert. The word chance, as it is used here in verse 31, tells us that it was not, or I'm sorry, that it was an accident. He didn't come from Jericho on his way to Jerusalem looking to find a dead body laying on the ground, or a half-dead body laying on the ground. What he saw down there told him there's trouble. He knows the history of the area. Seeing that man down there, I'm sure one of his first thoughts was, that's a trap for me. If I go to help him, I might be the next person laying there. I am a priest on my way to serve in the temple in Jerusalem. I cannot defile myself with that man. Maybe he is alive. Maybe he's dead. I can't take the chance. So I therefore must pass by on the other side, so as that I can continue on my path to make sure that nothing of me touches him, so as that I cannot be defiled. But can I say that I just somehow, as I read these verses, picture him running into a Levite who's making his way from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And that he pauses and says, by the way, just to let you know, there's a dead body up ahead. And then Brother Ben continues his path to Jerusalem, which in his particular case will be back to his seat. Verse 32, we see the condescension. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, you'll note that there is no mention of the word chance there. He passed by and he knew that there was a dead body there. That's why I believe the two began to talk about this. A little warning, heads up, there's a body up ahead. The Bible goes on to say this. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Did you notice I just left out two words? On him. They're in italics, church, which means when they were translated from the original Greek, they weren't there. For our English-speaking minds, they were added so that you and I could continue with the flow of the narrative being given to us. As we read it again, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. This is why I say that there's this condescension toward the man that is laying down here. Because he knows already what is in advance ahead of him. When he looks, he gets up close enough, he sees the certain man laying down here and says, yep, there he is, And he passes by because he's got to go on to Jericho. He also has to make sure not even his shadow touches, because he wants to remain clean when he gets back home. And you can just go ahead and go all the way back home there, Brother Bert.
Couldn't let my shadow go across.
That's why you're getting so close to him now. Ah, you're unclean! Unclean, you got to declare it now, you're unclean. You couldn't have done like Ben and go all the way around. No, you had to cheat. You see, he didn't see him as a human being. That's a piece of garbage down there. A piece of roadkill down there. He's nothing. He's scum. He's useless. Who cares about him? Another typical victim of the road to Jericho. Who cares? He didn't need to stop. He didn't need to stop. They've got to watch out for number one, don't they? So he followed the law. And unlike Brother Bert, he did remain clean. But in verses 33 and 34, I want you to see the compassion.
Yeah.
But a certain... Remember what we said about the word certain? This is guaranteed. This actually took place. This person actually existed. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was... And when he saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. See, this man, as he traveled, he had his first aid kit. That first aid kit would contain a mixture of olive oil and wine. In case anything happened to him, he could take care of himself. In case he was the one who was jumped, if they left his first aid kit behind, he could bandage himself up and try to make it in town. Instead, he comes along. Got a pulse. And he begins to pour the oil and wine mixture. He begins to use the cloth bandages, the linen that he's got, to wrap him up so that he's not bleeding anymore. We got a bone. It looks like it's a little out of joint here. Let me try to set it in place a little bit best I can. Wrap this up, secure it so it can heal right. And then he takes the man. He's journeying, but he stops. And even though it is hard on him, because now this man is completely dependent upon him. He can't carry himself. And this certain Samaritan has now got to go out of his way. I believe he takes him to Jericho. He's riding on his own animal while the man walks. That's his animal, but this guy's riding it. Because he understands this man can't do it alone. And so he brings him here to the innkeeper. Brings him in there. And now they can offer additional medical aid to him.
I'm not expecting her to slap you to make sure you're awake.
He's now off getting as much help as he possibly can. Religion did nothing for him. The law did nothing for him. Neither one wanted to do anything for him. But at his own cost, the Samaritan did all he could for him. At his own cost, the good Samaritan used his own first aid kit to help him. At his own cost, the good Samaritan used his own strength to help him. Used his own beast to help him. Did the best he could to help this young man get to where he could get more help. He took him most likely to the nearest inn. I believe it was there in Jericho. And he went above and beyond for a total stranger. that day. But he didn't stop there. See, he went a little further. Kind of like how Christ went a little further there in the Garden of Eden. Or I'm sorry, the Garden of Gethsemane. Went a little further to pray. Went a little further when he was arrested. Went a little further when he stood before Pilate. Went a little further when he stood before Herod. Went a little further when he stood before Pilate again. Went a little further when they whipped him with the cat of nine tails. Went a little further when he went to the cross of Calvary and gave his life during the cross of Calvary. And then still dead went a little further when he rose from the grave on that third glorious day. You see, this man also made sure to take care of all the coverage that was needed. Verse 35. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. 2 pence, church. 2 days worth of wages he gave to the innkeeper there. Take care of him. He needs some penicillin. Go buy it for him. He needs to go run to the ER. Go take him there. He needs to get some crutches. Go buy him crutches. Whatever the case is, he's going to make sure he does it. And then he promises to pay anything above and beyond the 2 pence on behalf of this man. Doesn't that sound a little familiar? When Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary to pay our sin debt. And even though we still sin after we're saved, he still has promised to take care of that as well.
Right.
So is that any time that I come to the Father, Father, forgive me for what I just did. And Jesus says, I'll take care of it. I paid there on the cross of Calvary. My blood.
That's right.
Now the Father honors it. But you notice there that he says toward the end of that verse, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again. He promised not only to pay him back, but he promised, I will be back. A long time before Arnold was. See, Satan has beat up this world. Beat it to the point that they have no idea how bad a shape they are in.
You're right.
Satan has beaten many Christians to the point that they are exhausted. And they're willing to just lay there and die. Instead of going back for any more church hurt. Instead of going back there and facing their own regrets, their own remorse, their own guilt. Instead of going back to God and saying, God, I messed up, please forgive me. Satan's got them so browbeaten, they won't even do that.
Yep.
Like that certain man who was robbed. Everything of value stolen from him. That joy, the excitement that we've gotten from the last 3 days of the Jubilee. Told you, Satan don't like it. He wants to steal it. He will gladly steal it any way possible, looking for any excuse to do it. And he will steal it, and then he will hurt us on top of it as payment for stealing it.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's how Satan works. And while we are exhausted, while we are infighting, while we are wanting to worry about good old number one, we overlook the fact that God sent His Son to bind up the wounds, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to bring the glad tidings of the great news. Jesus saves! Jesus saves!
Amen. Right.
And we can bring it all to the cross just as I am. For His amazing grace abounds. And he has left instructions for us to care for these poor, unfortunate souls, whether they be lost or they be fellow Christians. He wants us as the innkeepers to take care of them. We're responsible for helping one another, for pulling one another up, for encouraging one another. Does not the Bible tell us there in Hebrews chapter number 10 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? But so much the more as you see the day approaching, that we are to exhort, we are to comfort, we are to encourage one another?
Right.
Can't do that if we're far apart from each other. God doesn't social distance.
Nope.
Just because we get our little feelings hurt. That's because we didn't like the way that preacher was preaching tonight, and he's a hack anyways. Why in the world does anyone want him up there? Guess what? It don't matter. It's about Jesus, not about me, not about you.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's why he's left us instructions. Take care of them. But he didn't just leave us instructions. So that Samaritan didn't just leave instructions. He left some money behind too.
That's right.
As well as the promise. Jesus left His own personal Holy Spirit there.
Yes, right.
And His blessings upon us so that we can serve Him, so that we can know which direction to go, so that we can serve Him His way, not our way.
Right.
All with the promise to reward His good and faithful servants.
Yes.
Who will go to Jericho as they're making their way to Jerusalem. And He's promised that He will come and settle up with everybody.
Amen.
I have two questions here in closing. As Brother Frank comes with a song of invitation for us. Or Miss Karen, Miss Heather, whoever it is tonight. Number one, what will He find us doing? Number two, Will we be nursing our old wounds, or will we be mending others' wounds? The choice is ours. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We thank You, Lord, for being so good to us, for loving us and saving us. I believe, Lord, that this is the sermon that You'd have for us to bring to Your people here tonight, and perhaps there's more than just myself in need of hearing it all over again. But we all need to understand that we are supposed to work together for You, to go for You, to serve Your way. Help us, Father, please. I understand. I've got my own problems. I got to work on me too. Help me, Lord, please, to get that took care of so I can get back out there on a firing line so that I can be the faithful Christian that You'd have for me to be. We thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. If you please stand. Go ahead, Brother Tim.
Tenderly